We're reading Matthew chapter 21 this morning. Let's read through this text that we just heard in Russian. Matthew 21. When they drew near to Jerusalem and they came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you will say the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them." And all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." And so the disciples, they went and they did exactly as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, and they laid their clothes on them, and they set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. And others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" And so the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee." Whether you like it or not, whether the world likes it or not, whether the world likes it or not, Jesus is the most important person who ever lived in history. The last week of the life of Jesus Christ is the most momentous and monumental and historical week in the history of mankind. And I'm often asked the question, how can you dare say something like that? What audacity do Christians have to proclaim that Jesus is the most important man and that his life is the most important life of anyone that ever lived? When we read the Gospels are an eyewitness of the life of Jesus. This is written by the people that saw Jesus, that walked with Jesus, that lived with Jesus. These are the people that were taught by Jesus. These were the people that thought that Jesus was the Messiah, but they thought he would be the king that was promised to David. They thought he would be the man that would liberate them from the Romans. And they were disappointed when Jesus was crucified. They didn't fully understand all these things. But these eyewitnesses, they dedicate two-thirds of their writing to describing the life of Jesus. Out of the 89 chapters in the New Testament, 29 chapters deal with this last week of the life of Jesus Christ. This is more written in the Gospels about one man than any other person in the Bible itself as you read it. And so I think, just from the standpoint of Scripture, these are important passages. This was an important man, and this was an important week, and the events of this week are very important in our life. Scripture is clear that what happened this week is a result of the promises and the prophecies that God made to his people throughout history. And what the youth and the children just sang and waved the branches are a direct result of what happened on this day as the people greeted Jesus as the king, thinking he might be the Messiah that was promised, that would liberate them in a physical sense from Rome. And what happened here, what Jesus does here, is a direct prophecy that Zechariah the prophet in chapter 9 tells us how Jesus would be greeted. And we won't take the time today because our time is short to discuss this prophecy. But Jesus Christ, when he rides into Jerusalem, presents himself as the King of Israel, the one that had the right, the one that legally and royally could sit on the throne. Royally and legally, Jesus was the heir of David through Joseph and through Mary. We looked at the genealogy of Jesus at Christmas. And we see that Mary, she came through the line, the son of David, called Nathan, and Joseph came through Solomon. And so we see Jesus rides into Jerusalem with the credentials to be the king. He had every right to do so. And when conquering kings came into the city, into the capital of the country they had just conquered, they normally would come in on a white horse. Jesus does not come in on a white horse. He comes in on a donkey. This is significant because kings in the Old Testament prophets, men of God, Samuel would ride around and judge the people riding on a donkey. What that meant, as far as politics go, was that I come in peace. Somebody coming on a white horse means I come to judge and to conquer you. And in chapter 19 of Revelation, we read when Jesus comes again the second time, he will come on a white horse, conquering, coming to judge the world, to establish his earthly kingdom. The one that was prophesied, the one that the people here in Matthew 21 were expecting him to establish. So Jesus comes humbly, as a humble servant who had come to die, to give his life for our sins. The meaning of Hosanna that you just read, we find that in Psalm 118. And that's a prophecy. There's a group of psalms there that are called the Messianic Psalms or the Hallel Psalms. And the Jews, they always sang these songs when they celebrated Passover. And this year, our celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ coincides with the celebration that the Jewish people are going to have of Passover. But the Jews sang these songs during the celebration, and when we read about Jesus and the Last Supper, it says that when they finished the supper, before they went to the garden where Jesus was going to be betrayed, it says that they sang a song, and it's possible they sang this psalm that you kids just sang, Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. There's other prophecies in Isaiah that come and explain to us that Jesus would come and present to us these things. Waving palm branches, waving trees, something that had green in it, was a way of greeting a king. And these people, subconsciously, not thinking about what they were doing, were greeting Jesus as a king. And of course, 4 days later, they would be shouting for their king to be crucified. And Pilate writes, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." When Jesus enters Jerusalem, it says that the whole city was stirred up. You know, that's the exact same thing that happened when Jesus was born. When the Magi came from the east, they came into Jerusalem and they walked around. This was probably a pretty big group of people. Hundreds, maybe even 1,000 people came. It was a pretty big group, pretty big delegation. And they come into Jerusalem and say, "Where is he that is born the King of the Jews?" And now we have the same question. But now it's not where is he, but who is he? And I'd like to answer the question today with the very words that Jesus says about himself. The Bible tells us a lot about Jesus Christ. He's our Messiah, he is our Savior, he is our Lord. He is the one that suffered, he died, and he rose again for us. Scripture has a lot to say about Jesus Christ, and you need to consider what Jesus says about himself. But remember when Jesus met the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, what did he say to her? She says, "We're waiting for the Messiah." And Jesus says, "The one who speaks to you, I am." That's the Old Testament word for Jehovah, the Old Testament word for Lord, the Old Testament word for the Creator, the all-powerful of the universe. In John 6:20, when Jesus was walking on the water, when he came to his disciples, and they were afraid. They thought they were seeing a ghost. Jesus says, "Don't be afraid. It is I. It is me, the great I am." In John 8:18, Jesus says, "I bear witness of myself and of the Father." Jesus is the witness from God to man. John 8:24, "You must all believe that I am he if you want your sins to be forgiven." We need to believe that Jesus is the promised one from the Old Testament. John 8:28, Jesus says, "When I am lifted up, I will draw all men to me, and you will know that I am he." In John 8:68, in talking about Abraham, Jesus says, "Before Abraham lived, I am." At the Last Supper, Jesus dips the bread and gives it to Judas. And he says, "So that you would know and so that you would believe." John 18, in the garden, verse 5, verse 6, verse 8. 3 times the arresting officer asks, "Where is Jesus?" And Jesus says, "I am he. I am." That's what Scripture tells us about Jesus Christ. But in addition to these, there are six specific or seven specific statements that Jesus makes about himself as they relate to our salvation. John 6:35, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." John 8:12, "I am the light of the world." Jesus in chapter 10 of John, verse 7, verse 9, says, "I am the door that the sheep come in through. I am the door." In John 10, 11, 14, Jesus twice says, "I am the good shepherd." In John 11, 25, when Lazarus dies and Jesus comes and he's going to raise him from the dead, he tells Lazarus' sister Martha, "I am the resurrection. And consequently, because I'm the resurrection, I am the life. You will have life eternal if you believe and accept these things about me, me being the great I am." In John 14, 6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can have salvation except through me." And once we come to Jesus Christ, Jesus says, "I am the true vine, abide in me." What is the result of all this? The last couple of weeks in Ephesians, we've been talking about a new man, a new life, walking the worthy life. History divides itself at the cross, B.C. and A.D., before Jesus Christ and after the death of Jesus Christ. And the question to you today is, do you believe these things? Do you believe that Jesus is the great I am? If you do, your life will be A.D. It will be the new life, the new man that Jesus came to present to us. If not, you will find yourself stuck in B.C. before Christ. So do you have Jesus in your life? Is your life B.C. or is your life A.D.? The whole purpose of Jesus coming, everything we're going to do this week, revolves around that second, that important question. And so my challenge to you is, if you don't know Jesus today, come to him. After the service, we'll be here. We'll be happy to talk to you, to pray with you, and lead you to come to know Jesus Christ. Amen.